The importance of ensuring that you have an up-to-date will cannot be overstated. A will should state clearly the individual's wishes about who among their family and friends should get what of any remaining assets when in the event of death. Not having a will at the time of death can lead to a messy situation, especially when it comes to making sure that the needs of dependents like children are taken care of. To take us through what's involved in writing up a will and to give us scenarios of what can happen in instances where there are no wills involved, I'm joined on the line by Noma Khumalo. She's the head of public sector at Momentum Corporate. Thanks very much for joining us, Noma. So when writing a will, especially when you still have minor dependents to think of, what are some of the issues you need to have top of mind? And presumably it's best to have this drafted by a professional person to avoid ambiguity and miscommunication.
Good evening, Nombumelo. Thank you. Yes, it's very important when one drafts a will, particularly with minor children, to take care at least of the following things. Consider the practicality of the will itself. What assets are you leaving for the benefit of minor children? This is whether you have a spouse or you do not. Secondly, even more importantly, is that you must nominate a guardian for your children. In the event that you and your spouse pass away at the same time, somebody must take care of the day-to-day needs of your children.
Yes.
And I think, lastly, it's so important that the right vehicle that is going to preserve and grow the assets you leave behind is tax-efficient, and it's also practical for those children and their guardian to access the funds for their day-to-day living.
So tell us about concepts like living trusts and testamentary trusts. What are they, and how do you decide what sort of structure is best for you to leave behind for those who depend on you?
So basically, the difference between the two trusts, the living trust, or what is often called an inter vivo trust, means it's a trust that you establish while you're still alive. So you will set up a trust deed, you will say who the beneficiaries are. You yourself can be a beneficiary of the trust whilst you're still alive. And you can also then decide investment strategy and transfer assets whilst you're still alive into that type of a trust.
Hmm.
And then the other type of a trust is what we call the testamentary trust or a will trust. So essentially, in your will, you will then say, in the event that I pass away, I would like that a will be set up and for these following beneficiaries. And will they receive income? Will they receive capital from the will? And most importantly, who will be the trustees of that will? Sorry, of that trust. And how should they distribute the income and the capital in that trust for the benefit of the people that you'd like to benefit? So essentially, those are the two things. One is while you're still alive, and one is one that takes effect when you've passed away.
Yeah.
The main things to consider really is the tax treatment. So obviously, if you're still alive, the trust might earn some income which is deemed to have been earned by you. Also, it's also a good trust to have if you think you've got good growth assets, let's say shares in a business, commercial property, or even a house that you feel in 20, 30 years' time, it will appreciate in value. So it's almost a tax-efficient way, should you pass away, to pay less estate duty.
Hmm. What sort of access to the children's funds left by an estate can a guardian access, and what measures can you put in place to avoid abuse of the position?
So essentially, the guardian would be a recipient of the income that you've deemed the children should have. So that is why the guardian themselves are purely the person who takes care of the child day to day. So you want to look at their principles, their values. They're there to take your children to school, feed them, even live in the house you choose where they can live. Essentially, they do not make financial decisions for your children.
Yes.
They're trustees of the trust, which is always a preferred method of putting whatever you'd like to leave your children with. However, we'll then decide the level of income, depending on how those assets are able to produce income, and whether or not certain capital assets should be sold in order to keep the children alive or take care of their needs. So essentially, a guardian is a completely different person, plays a completely different role to that of a trustee over the trust that takes care of the financial matters that pertain to the children's inheritance.
Well explained, understood. So if you die without a will, it's left to the master of the High Court to assist in getting the estate's affairs in order. Because the deceased's wishes are not clearly, stated, presumably the master of the High Court would make certain assumptions in relation to what a spouse gets, what the children get, and so on.
So the master of the High Court will be directed by the law of succession. So it's quite straightforward for all of us. It depends on who you leave behind. If you have a spouse and children, that estate will be split equally amongst them. If you leave only your parents, you must consider that your estate will go to your parents. And if one of those parents is no longer alive and had another child, that child will then inherit. So the law of succession is quite clear in terms of what happens in what events. And right up to the point where there isn't a beneficiary or an heir that can be traced, then and only then will your estate fall into the hands of the guardian fund and ultimately after 30 years accrue to the estate if nobody comes up to claim.
One of the pieces of advice you give is that it's important to ensure that your will is up to date. How often should one amend their will? Do you have to wait until something significant in your life happens, maybe, the birth of a new child? When should you do it?
I think review your will as often as your financial situation changes. For example, you would have taken a will 5 years ago and would have chosen a parent as a beneficiary, let's say, on one of your policies. And you are looking at your estate right now and you started to take up some debt, you've bought a house. You need to consider the liquidity of your estate at every given moment. So it's not only that a significant event is happening to you, but as your financial situation and the level of debt you have or the size of your estate grows, you need to review your estate. But yes, definitely at significant events like getting married, getting divorced, having children, having a loved one passed away, do revisit your will. But I would say quite consistently, every 2 years, just do check that you still have a liquid estate should anything happen to you.
Super. Norma, thank you very much for that advice. That was Norma Kumalo. She's the head of public sector at Momentum Corporate. And that's all we have for you this evening. Of course, we'll have more SAFM Market Update with MoneyWeb for you tomorrow. Take care.